From Kenya in the east to Zimbabwe in the south and Nigeria in the west, India's $15 billion SR Group is investing in Africa in businesses ranging from power, steel and mining to telecommunications and construction. A director at the SR Group, Firdhos Kouwadia, says when the company wanted to diversify, the growing opportunities in Africa provided the obvious answer. He says, though the continent's 53 countries vary enormously, the macro trends are similar.
You look at what the continent has to offer today, in 2010, I think what you'll find that there's a resurgent sort of entrepreneurial spirit across the continent, firstly. Secondly, there's an increased willingness and an openness to trade, an openness to investment, and also a commitment by the politicians and regulators that there is no turning back from a cycle of investing in development. And, this obviously for an investor is that inflection point, as you want to call it, between where the continent was as a whole and where it's likely to be.
In the last 5 years, scores of Indian companies have bought or invested about $16 billion in a range of businesses in Africa. Among them is Bharti Telecommunications, whose $9 billion deal to acquire mobile phone operations in 15 African countries this year is the biggest investment by an Indian company. Others tapping Africa are involved in pharmaceuticals, automobiles, information technology, power, mining and consumer goods. State-owned companies are also making large investments in oil and gas fields to meet the needs of energy-hungry India. Many investors view the resource-rich continent as the new frontier for global business. Home to 1 billion people, Africa's economy is growing by about 4.5%. Debashish Mukherjee with consultancy A.T. Kearney in New Delhi says the continent has great potential.
Africa is where India was a few decades back. The per capita income in many of the African countries are increasing. There has been investments in education in many of the sub-Saharan African countries. Many of the forward-looking indices are right, and I think many of the companies would like to capitalize on that with an early start.
Attracted by cheap labor and land cost, Indian companies are also moving into Africa for commercial farming. Only about 15% of the arable land in Africa is cultivated, and many countries, which are food deficient despite having surplus land, are inviting foreign investors into the agricultural sector. In India, where farming is dominated by small family-run holdings, companies are attracted by the possibility of starting large-scale operations in Africa. Arun Agarwal heads the African Committee at the Associated Chambers of Commerce and Industry in New Delhi.
In India, there's a problem of, lands and acres. You cannot get big lands. So like Sudan, Ethiopia, Tanzania, Mozambique, Senegal, and many countries, they are offering big lands on, easy terms.
Indian businesses find it relatively easier to operate in Africa because ties with the region date back generations. Many Indians who migrated to Africa to build roads and railways in Britain's former colonies are settled in that continent. Still, many Indians find Africa a tough place to do business. Kouwadia of the SR Group says the challenges in Africa are similar to those faced by investors in many developing countries.
The bureaucracy is one issue. The complex politics, so you need to understand and be sensitive to the politics and the history of each country. Infrastructure is a critical one. You expect, email bandwidth to be good. Simple infrastructure like that doesn't often work effectively. And then, things like getting, shipping and logistics done, port services done, rail, all that general infrastructure is still lagging. Again, similar parallel to where India was, as I said, a decade or two ago.
The thrust into Africa is backed by the government, which has pledged to increase investment and trade with the continent. But business analysts say that unlike China's push into Africa, which is driven by its government, India's push into the continent is largely led by its private sector. Anjana Pastricha for VOA News, New Delhi.